T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
Morning show with John and you on Sports Radio 92 on the game. Big news today, Braves taking on the Yankees. Tukey back on the mound tonight for the Atlanta Braves at Yankee Stadium. Get into that coming up in the next 20 minutes here. Talk to Hugh about his Tukey thing, because he may have been right. Earlier today, Hugh, we asked on the morning menu, Abe asked about which lower-tier quarterback in the NFL was going to have the best season, and I had to kind of, you know, clarify whether or not, you know, I don't know if Kyler Murray, is Kyler Murray really a lower-tier quarterback? Is he? I'm not really sure if he is or not.
Well, I mean, it's, what has he done? And what did he do last year that makes you think he's in the top tier?
Well, I don't know. I guess maybe it's just because, you know, the whole hype and everything else. You know, I wanted to make sure he is, because that was my answer. I wasn't sure if he was a lower-tier quarterback or not.
Well, I mean, I think it's not – I don't think in this – moment is disrespectful, because he doesn't have the body of work like others have, you know.
Right. No, and I'm not trying to that's where I'm going with this. I'm not trying to disrespect Kyler Murray and his abilities here. I think he's got a lot of upside. I think he's a tremendous athlete, tremendous player, and will find a lot of success in his career in the NFL. I think we're seeing those kind of quarterbacks, Hugh, a little bit of Pat Mahomes, Lamar, Kyler Murray, kind of all following kind of the Russell Wilson pattern here. We're seeing, you know, a new kind of quarterback really emerge in the NFL as we kind of move on from the Tom Brady, Drew Brees kind of quarterbacks.
I mean, statue quarterbacks, pocket passes.
Right.
They have a little bit of that in them, though. The one thing that I think Russell Wilson has benefited from tremendously is the fact his baseball background, to be honest, and the fact that he doesn't, you know, he's a mobile quarterback that still can deliver from the pocket and doesn't take a whole lot of hits. That's just, you know, my personal take on him as a quarterback.
And Pat Mahomes, too. I mean, he's got a baseball background. Obviously, his dad played in the major leagues. He played a lot of baseball. And, their ability to throw, you know, it's really, Hugh, I think a lot of it has to do with not only their ability to move, but their arm angle. I mean, the baseball guys can kind of drop down and change their arm angles and get it into more unusual spots than just a guy who – because when they taught us when I was a kid, we all went through, you know, training, and, you know, I was never a quarterback. I never threw that way. But when they all taught us, you know, you held the ball up and you threw it off your ear. You know, you just kind of – you tipped the point up and you threw a spiral by throwing it off your ear. These guys, they hold the ball out here, you know, willy-nilly, and they throw it at this angle, that like they're throwing side, you know, submarine baseball pitches, and they just snap their wrist and throw it like a Frisbee, for crying out loud.
I've never noticed that, but I that's something I definitely had to take notice of when I watched them this season.
Yeah, especially Mahomes and his ability to drop down and throw it from, you know, from sidearm. But the question was, and you said Josh Allen, which was echoed, by the way, by one of our tweeters. Justin said Josh Allen as well. And I guess Josh Allen's a lower-tier quarterback. I mean, I give him a lot of grief. I know that. But he was voted into the top 100 players in the NFL. Just look at some of the other replies. Abe said Drew Lock, and that was also something that Jeff Miller tweeted in and said Drew Lock. A couple of people said Matt Ryan, and I'm like, really? I mean, seriously? Lower tier?
So, I mean, you know, some people have that opinion. That's their opinion. You know, everybody's entitled to their opinion, John. You know, and everybody has one.
JC said Dak, and again, you know, I'm no gigantic fan of Dak Prescott as a quarterback. I think he's a fine player, but I don't know that I see I were a Dallas Cowboys fan, I would be going, yeah, is he really the guy that's going to win us the Super Bowl? We've had others that jumped in here. Kevin and Joshua Doherty both said Kirk Cousins. Has Kirk Cousins – here's a question, Hugh. Kirk Cousins, has he fallen into the second half of quarterbacks? I mean, $92 million guaranteed – first guaranteed
that's
deal.
That's the nature of that beast, John. I mean, that's the nature of the NFL. If it wouldn't have been Kirk Cousins, it would have been somebody else that people would have felt that didn't deserve the money. Kirk Cousins just was the one that benefited from it. You know, he was franchise tagged twice. And, you know, when you get franchise tagged twice, you don't go backwards. And, I mean, that's just the nature of the beast. Whether you feel you deserve it or not, you don't go backwards.
Right. And of course, now everything's been reset here with the amount of money that we're seeing, you know, that Pat Mahomes got. That changes the world, and it changes everybody's view when you're talking $500 million and, you know, with the extension that was put on it versus, you know, $100 million doesn't sound like so much money anymore when you're talking about one guy got $500 million. But nonetheless, Kirk Cousins at one time was the first player ever, I believe, right?
Guaranteed contract, yeah.
First guaranteed contract.
Yeah. He the one that, you know, per Thomas Dimitroff's own words, said that he the one that got Matt Ryan paid. He the one that made Matt Ryan's contract difficult.
Ken says Baker Mayfield. You know, I don't want my personal bias to get in the way here. But, you know, and I know
late.
It does.
It's too late. You're not allowed to have personal bias on the radio, obviously. Some people feel that way, but yeah, I was waiting for you to say it, but you didn't, so I didn't get a chance to pounce on that. But yeah, I was feeling it.
Well, yeah, I mean, and I do. I mean, I admit it. I mean, I look at players and I have an opinion of players, and I'm not
and
sold on them
like
as players. Well, I mean, I don't know the guy. I mean, he may be the most likable guy in the
world. Don't like him. You don't like Baker Mayfield, though, for whatever reason. You don't like
him. I'm not a fan.
Yeah, for whatever reason, you don't like him. So, I mean, we got that out the way. Does it make you feel better to admit that?
Yeah, a little bit, yeah. Like I mean, it's funny because, you know, you had the three quarterbacks back-to-back-to-back come out of Lincoln Riley's system, Baker Mayfield, Kyler Murray, and now Jalen Hurts. And I like Jalen Hurts a lot. I think Jalen Hurts, has a bit – I got to see him as a pro, but I really like Jalen Hurts. And I got to say, I like Kyler Murray. Baker Mayfield, not so much. You
Is
know?
It because he did not run that cop? Was that what it was? He let
yeah,
that cop
part of
him.
It, maybe, yeah. I mean, that was a bad look. He just doesn't, you know, I mean, and I don't mind the bravado. I don't mind the sticking the flag on the Ohio State, or what he said to Georgia, you know, the whole it's over. I mean, you make your bed. I mean, Ohio State got him back. Georgia won the game. I think he's probably a fool for doing that kind of stuff.
You don't mind none of that?
I don't mind. That doesn't bother me that much. I think it's stupid, but it doesn't bother me. What bothers me.
You just don't like him for real. You just don't like him.
I just don't think he's any good.
Okay.
I just think he's a really – I think he's a backup pretending to be an NFL quarterback.
Okay. I've never heard anybody say it like that before, but okay. I mean, okay. You're a backup
pretending to be a starter. I view Josh Allen the same way. I think Josh Allen is a backup pretending to be a starting quarterback in the NFL.
Obviously. Because you got your boy Jake Fromm starting over during the pandemic year. That is obvious. Man, I hope some of these come true because I just want to be able to laugh on a Saturday. Well, not Saturday.
Well,
not
it could be on a Saturday. You never know.
Well, yeah. I just want to be able to laugh at some of these. It's just, it's just wild. I don't like Baker Mayfield because I just don't like his face.
I think Tua is going to be if Tua stays healthy. I think Tua is going to be a really good NFL quarterback.
You might as well just say that, John. Why you don't like Baker Mayfield? I don't like his face. I don't like the way he smiles.
Yes.
I don't like the commercials that he did when he pretended that his home was Cleveland Browns Stadium.
I thought those commercials were okay. They weren't bad.
I don't like him. I don't like the fact that he went to the game with Myles Garrett and didn't nobody know who he was.
That was funny. That was hilarious.
I hate the way Baker Mayfield combs his hair.
You know, yeah. That,
new segment
that'd
idea,
be...
guys.
Huh?
New segment idea. Maybe like every Monday, we just list reasons why John hates a current starting NFL quarterback. Why John hates this quarterback?
He hates Baker Mayfield. I do. If I'm not mistaken, I remember when he was coming out of college, you kind of liked him a little bit. if I'm not mistaken, John. That's why it's just funny to hear. Now all of a sudden, you just woke up this one morning and said, you know what? Can't stand Baker Mayfield ass no
Yeah,
more.
Well, partly because I thought he might be a good quarterback, and I probably said so. And I'm a closet Cleveland Browns fan. I've admitted this, okay?
Oh, that is too funny. You know what? I don't like him anymore.
I'm a closet Cleveland Browns fan, and for those of you who don't know, if you remember, well, you have to be old, but they used to have the electronic football. I mentioned this before, but just for the sake of the listeners now, those old electronic football games, and I had two teams, the New York Giants and the Cleveland Browns, and I hated the New York Giants, so I was always the Cleveland Browns. And so I, you know, always kind of rooted for the Browns, and they were such sad sacks, and then the drive happened, and it was like, okay.
Hanford Dixon and Frank Minifield.
Yeah,
and,
right.
And Michael Dean.
Michael Dean. Michael Dean could play now. Yeah, Michael Dean, big boy. And look, the Browns have all the talent in the world. Freddie Kitchens was a disaster. Now we'll see what the new coach can do, because that was just, man, that thing didn't work at all. And then I felt, you know what, Hugh, I also felt bad for the Browns when they up in the middle of the night, you know,
obviously
Art Mardell packs
like
up the Mayflower and moves him out of Cleveland.
You don't like Baker Mayfield, though. You don't feel too bad for him. You still got that torch burning for Baker Mayfield. That Baker Mayfield.
Well, Abe said Drew Locke, and I guess I said Jeff Miller also, you know, that, you know, hey, listen, Drew Locke came out of high school as this superstar high school quarterback. He went to Missouri and he threw for a ton of yards. You know, I don't really know what to make of Drew Locke. Is he really a good quarterback, or is he just one of those guys that threw for a lot of yards in college? I don't know. And, you know, that'll be an interesting guy to watch. You know, not his fault that Missouri defense couldn't stop the run. I mean, and good Lord, they could not stop the run. All right, the Braves can't stop the bleeding from their rotation. What Tukey has to do tonight to bail his team out here. We'll talk about that next. If I was right about Taco Fall, I think Hugh might be right about Tukey. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Game.
He did.
Out toward right center field, going back on it is Acuña Jr. That one is long gone into the Braves bullpen. A three-run home run for Bryce Harper, and the Phillies jump out to the early lead.
No, we optioned him, actually.
Okay.
After the game. Go back, just like we did last year. Go back down. He'll go back to the alternate site and keep throwing, and we're going to need him before this thing's over with again. I don't know if he'll be starting, relieving, or whatever, but, you know, he just got to go back, keep pitching.
Brian Snicker talking about Sean Newcomb optioned to the alternate site. That would be Cool-Ray Field, home of the Gwinnett Braves, where the 30 players are continuing to work out, hoping to get a shot back at the majors, and now includes Mike Foltynewicz and Sean Newcomb, two of the guys that you were counting on to be part of that, a big part of that Braves staff this year, are now down because of their failures to be able to get people out. Welcome back to the morning show. Braves play the Yankees tonight in Yankee Stadium, and Tukey Toussaint. Last time we saw Tukey, Hugh Douglas, he was 9 of them, right? 9 strikeouts.
Yeah, something like that, and people were excited. You know, it was kumbaya. People were talking about World Series and all the other good stuff, the ebb and flow of baseball, if you will, John Fricky.
Yep, and so Tukey hopefully can build on that last start. We know that Max Fried seems to be fine. We hope that Tukey can, you know, hold down the fort here and maybe even do better than that. We don't know about Kyle Wright and whatever else is after him. At this point, we have no clue because, again, 5 starters that you were counting on or at least looking at the beginning of the year back in spring training, Cole Hamels, Felix Hernandez, Mike Foltynewicz, Mike Soroka, obviously, and now Sean Newcomb. We have no idea terms of, you know, what's going to happen with the Braves starting rotation. And at the moment, it's in such disarray, Hugh, that, you know, the hopes of the team are going to be pinned on a couple of things. One, can you find one of the youngsters that could actually contribute to this team as a starting pitcher, whether it's one of those kids that's down there that's going to get an opportunity to pitch in the big leagues, or another is whether or not Alex Anthopoulos can make a move for a veteran starter, or Hugh, or 2 veteran starters, because he may be in a position where he has to go get 2.
Yeah, I mean, it's still up in the air, John. I don't think anybody's pushed the panic button yet. It would be great if somebody would step up and you know, be a little bit more consistent. And I think that they're going to probably be looking at Tukey to do that today. You know, it's funny, like, watching pitchers and watching, you know, the mechanics and stuff that they go through on a daily basis, that's a tough job, especially when you know what's at stake every time that you're going out there. And not only that, just having a feel for if you have your stuff or not. The last couple of nights, John, watching baseball, the one thing that I tend to do is kind of look at the pitcher's demeanor and see how he looks out there on the mound. Sean didn't look comfortable, you know, and then when he got in trouble early on, he looked a little shook. He just looked like he wasn't there, and he wished he would have been anywhere else but in the moment that he was in. Don't know what that feels like, you know, because, you know, so many times, and you know, it's, you know, every 5 days they got to be out there, but to be out there on the mound and knowing the weight of the situation and going out there and not having your stuff with you on that night, that has to be a tough spot to be in, knowing that everybody's counting on you.
Yeah, and really kind of disappointing. I mean, a couple of years ago, I mean, you could argue he was the number one starter. He had that game against the Dodgers where he was, you know, two strikes, two outs in the ninth inning from a no-hitter of the Dodgers, and really pitched well, and we had high hopes for his future. And, you know, he obviously got relegated. He, you know, something happened. He ended up getting relegated to the bullpen last year and pitched well at times out of the bullpen, and that's why Snicker kind of made reference to the fact that Sean Newcomb could still help us out of the bullpen. But I think when he says, you know, alternate side and we'll see, maybe starting, maybe bullpen, I think we are pretty much sure that Sean Newcomb's days as a starter for this team, probably not long if he comes back.
You never know. You never know. I mean, and that's the thing. You know, Snick, in this situation, I think he would probably be a little bit more optimistic if we were in a regular season, but we're not.
Mm-hmm.
And we're trying, right. You know, we're trying to get the right folks for the right time. We're trying to get everybody dialed in at the right time. John, so it's a tough spot to be in. He knows that. And you know, with a young arm like Sean, you don't want to alienate him. You don't want to put him in a spot where, you know, he feels like he's not worth it. I would say the same thing about Fulton Nevis, too, even though he didn't have a great outing. You might need these guys down the stretch. I mean, and they've shown at times where they had some pretty decent stuff. And you just never know. You might catch them at the right time, and they might pay huge dividends for you.
No,
the time is running out.
Hey, listen,
the time
I'm
to make
all
that decision is running out, though. To be honest,
Look, I'm a glass half full guy too, Hugh, and so I always remain optimistic, and I don't disagree with you. You know, especially when it comes to Mike Foltynewicz, I don't know if he have to put a little bit of weight on or why his fastball. If he can get his fastball back up to 93-94. Then it starts to move a little bit. We all know that he's got good stuff. So it's just a matter of, I don't know what happened in terms of him being real skinny and losing 5 miles an hour off his fastball and having it flatten out. But those two, if we're counting on Cole Hamels to get healthy, which he's supposed to throw bullpen next week, we don't know that he'll be healthy, or Newcomb or Foltynewicz, I think those are all kind of, you know, down the road kind of things here. We're talking in the last 15, 20 games of the year. Over the next 20 to some odd games, you got to do something. And so if you think that the answer is going to be Tukey and Kyle Wright, maybe it is, Hugh. Maybe it is. Maybe Kyle Wright will finally start to catch on. I mean, he was a number one pick for a reason, but he hadn't yet. And then after that, you know, are you just going to kind of, you know, do it by committee? Bryce Wilson, Tucker Davidson, you know, Kyle Muller. I mean, are you just going to make it up as you go along? You may. And the thing is, you may have to, Hugh, because there may not be a deal to go get.
I mean, that's my mindset, John. That's kind of my mindset. But before we even get to that point, we just got to figure out, you know, win the day. You know, you're going up here to Yankee Stadium tonight, win the day. That's it. You know, worry about all the other stuff after the fact. You know, the one thing you got going for you, defensively, you're playing pretty good. Need to score some more runs in games like the ones that you had yesterday, a little bit earlier. But you're in a good situation when it comes to that. So try to, you know, look at some of the positives. And if you can get some decent pitching, if you can get a little bit of what you got from Tukey the last time out, I think that puts you in a good spot. I really do.
Yeah, the injury bug has caught the Braves a little bit. I mean, certainly a little bit, being Mike Soroka being out for the year and Ozzie Albies being on the IL and Chris Martin being on the IL. And so, you know, the Braves are working through some of those things here, and they don't have – and luckily for us, Ozzie and Martin are on the 10-day IL. So hopefully Ozzie will be back, you know, forthwith here, and Chris Martin in about
wrist,
the week.
You got that wrist situation he's dealing with still, right? Yeah.
Right. And Camargo's done, you know, a pretty decent job at second base. But, boy, it'd be nice to have Ozzie back. Even Acuna says he misses him, and I can imagine that he does. So, but right now, yeah, I agree with you. I think from a bullpen standpoint, from a hitting standpoint, from a fielding standpoint, the Braves are fine. From a number one pitcher standpoint with Max Fried, the Braves are fine. It's right now it's starters 2, 3, 4. I mean, we got a lot of question marks in that starting rotation.
I kind of look at it like this. No, not to cut you off, John, but I kind of look at it like this. You get into, first of all, your ultimate goal is to get into the dance. Get into the dance. When you get into the dance, then you start figuring out all the other stuff. And if you had to make a move before then you figure that out. But right now, you're trying to get into the dance, and you're in a good spot to do that as far as the win-loss columns are concerned.
Yes, I think you're in a very good spot. I mean, they take seven teams now from each league, and of course, according to the LA Times. By the way, I don't know if I asked you this earlier because we were talking about it a little bit. I mean, are you good with the idea of them taking all 14 teams to Arizona and playing the playoffs in a bubble? You think that's a good idea?
I mean, the bubble seems like it's working so far, you know. And you're talking about the teams that are in the playoffs. If you're taking them to the bubble, yeah, I'm all for that to keep everybody healthy, because that's what that's what it's going to come down to. I honestly believe that the healthier teams and the ones that can stay COVID-free are going to be the ones that are going to be in the best situations. Now, I know, talking to Abe and talking baseball with him, pitching is at a premium during the playoffs. But this might be a year. This might be the year where, not so much. That might not be the case so much this year. And I think the healthier the Braves stay and the more focused they are, they greatly increase their chances every time they go out there and play of making it to the big dance.
Yeah, and it shows you just how different a year it is. I mean, Mike Foltynewicz has a terrible, terrible outing and gets immediately, designated for assignment. Sean Newcomb has a terrible, terrible outing and immediately gets set back down. I mean, there is just no time to waste here when we're talking about being – we talked about the first 20 games of the season. Boy, what an interesting first 20 games of the season so far, and it'll end after the second game against the Yankees. We'll be through that 20-game stretch, and we'll be talking about, assessing it, the good, the bad, and the ugly of the first 20 games for the Atlanta Braves and where they stand after those 20 games. There's been some really good stuff and some really, really deeply troubling stuff for the Atlanta Braves in those first 20 games. All right, when we get back in a moment wrap up the show, some of our thoughts, some of our takeaways, headed to Andy and Randy at the top of the hour, and we'll check in, too, with Wesley Acuff, the head coach of the Hawks Talents team, as they have something going on right now. The only Hawks team that's playing, according to the NBA. Hopefully they're holding up their end of the bargain here. All right, do that as we continue next with John and you on the Marty Show on Sports Radio 92 on the game, worldwide at radio.com.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.